Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to the Word of God today, John chapter 1, and a very familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. So good to see all of our guests, all of our friends here, and Fred, good to see you and your family. We appreciate and love them, and I could go on. It's good to see people that, well, you're guests, I guess, but you're not really guests. You're just home, and it's good to see people here today. And we're thankful for just the presence of the Lord that we feel here today. It's an exciting day. Things are looking up. Hope is alive. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Well, we're going to be speaking on Hope is Alive all month long, but today I want to talk to you about the light of hope. The light of hope. Would you pray that the light of hope would just shine into our hearts, into our lives today? Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We love you and praise you. We worship you today. Thank you for the atmosphere of hope that we feel in this house. I pray that you will let that hope shine into our lives. Let the light of truth, the light of your Spirit, let it shine into each and every one of us. And I pray that your power would minister. At the close of this service, Lord, we pray that you would bring hope. Every life, every heart, every person that struggled, every person that's under a weight, under a burden today, I pray that you would bring hope today, and we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a fist bump or shake their hand or give them an air hug, whatever it might need to be, and tell them hope is alive. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. And so, hope is alive. With all that we've experienced over this last year, hope has really taken a beating. Researchers have reported that we are now seeing all-time high levels of depression and anxiety and fear and worry due to the pandemic, but also other factors as well. And levels of hope have really suffered. We all know what it feels like to see the constant bombardment against hope in the news media because they focus on the negative more than the positive. There's sometimes, I tell you what, I just don't even have to know everything going on in the news. I don't need that in my day. And it's affecting our society. It's affecting our world. But in the midst of all of this, here at Harvest over this last year, we have still seen people who have been overcoming addiction and finding deliverance and finding healing and having their lives and their families transformed and people finding salvation. And so this month, we just felt like we just need to keep declaring that hope is alive. Hope is alive. And regardless of what we may face in our world, it doesn't even really matter what crisis comes next. There is still hope. Hope is alive with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We're going to be having special prayer in every one of our services for those who need hope. In the midst of everything we're facing, we believe that you can find hope, and we can find it here. And so today, specifically, we're looking at the light of hope. scientists have identified some very interesting things about the effect of light upon our bodies. Our brains and our emotions are affected by light. In the last several years, there's been a lot of talk about the blue light that is emitted from our screens and how it can affect our sleep patterns. They have discovered that it's very interesting to study this. The human eye contains photosensitive cells. And in our retina, those cells connect directly to glands in the brain, which in turn connect with other glands and organs in our body. And stimulation of these photosensitive cells in our eyes from sunlight, and in particular from blue unseen light, or that spectrum of light, it plays a vital role in our human bodies and in our health. These photosensitive cells, they pick up the spectrum of light early in the morning, and it gets you going throughout the day. And it controls our biological clock. This influences our circadian rhythm, which affects our sleep patterns and hormone regulation and reaction time and other behaviors. And when this rhythm in our body is interrupted, over time it can lead to an increased risk of disease, including cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and other things. But when it's operating correctly, when the rhythm of our body and our biological clock operates correctly, it helps our brain, it helps our nervous system, it helps our muscle function, immune health, and other hormones to be regulated. The transition from sleep to wakefulness, it requires, some of you, it requires coffee. But did you know that God marvelously designed our body so that there's a natural function to get us from sleep to wakefulness? And the body's adrenal glands, when these cells in our bodies, they sense the light that's produced early in the morning. If you go outside, there's a just a certain range of light in that blue spectrum that your eye senses and helps produce cortisol in your body. And it helps wake us up. And then the body needs a proper amount of time after that cortisol kicks in and that kickstart in the morning before later it starts producing melatonin. And that builds up into our bodies, making us sleepy at night. People who sleep in the morning, they miss that natural dose of hormones to wake them up. And then they can't go to sleep at bedtime because they're missing the melatonin. So it's all a biological clock and all of that works together. And so I know some of you like that caffeine dose in the morning and you can't even function until you've had at least one or two or three cups of coffee. But if you'll just get up early and go out and look at the sunrise, it'll have a powerful effect on your body and on your mood because of those photosensitive cells that pick up on light. Light affects our mood. Several years ago, I remember Sister McCoy and I, we decided we were going to redecorate our bedroom and paint some colors. And so at that point, we decided we liked a certain color, and it was quite dark. And we thought, well, it'll be a cozy room to sleep in, and we'll black out the curtains and everything. And it was so dark, and I tell you, you could sleep forever. But you couldn't wake up. And you know what? It was really kind of a dreadful and gloomy place because it was just so dark. There's something about darkness. It affects our moods. But there's something about light. It's encouraging. Amen. It lifts you up. It gives you joy just to have a little light today. And I've come to tell somebody there is a light of hope. There is a light of hope through Jesus Christ. That if you are down, if you are depressed, if you are discouraged, you need that light to shine into your soul today. And there will be a reaction, and your mood will start to lift, and your spirit will start to get a little higher because of the light of hope of Jesus Christ. Light corresponds with hope. Darkness relates to hopelessness. Not long ago, I related about the paintings of Van Gogh and the Dutch painter and how he loved color in his paintings, especially the color yellow. He's quoted to once have said how wonderful yellow is. It stands for the sun. And it definitely seems that in his artwork, Van Gogh, yellow was his favorite color. Unfortunately, in one of his most famous works, The Starry Night, even though the color yellow dominates the painting, signifying hope in a dark world, if you examine that painting closely, the church pictured there in the painting has no yellow in its windows. And apparently at this time in his life, Van Gogh did not view the church as a place of hope. But I want to tell you, if we can't find hope in the church, if we can't find life and light in the church, then where can we possibly find hope? I've come to encourage someone, you're in the right place to find hope today. Because the light of Jesus Christ is here and it's shining into hearts. And it's moving upon ourselves today. Amen. I'm thankful that hope is alive. Hope is alive. At the beginning of time, we find a world in darkness. Genesis 1 and 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, the earth, it was without form, it was void, it was empty, it was desolate, and darkness covered the watery depths that were there. It was a dreadful place. It was without light and without hope, but the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of those waters, and that's what we need here today, is for the Spirit of God to move on every single one of us, and for every life that's been in the depths of hopelessness, there is hope even in the darkness if God's Spirit will move. Genesis 1 and 3, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He started creating order. He brought light to the darkness. He transformed it. And the Bible says God saw the light that it was good. And in that moment when God spoke light into existence, oh, it was a big bang for sure. When out of nothing, when out of that murky blackness that was obscure and empty, there was something that changed. And now there was light. And it was good. Before, it was hopeless. Before, it was empty. It was depressing. It was gloomy and heavy. But now there was a ray of hope. And something had changed and things were different. Oh, what a difference light will make. It was the light of hope. And God created our world. He created the dry land, the oceans, the plants and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fish and birds and animals. And God made man in his image and gave him dominion over everything that he had created. And the book of Genesis tells us that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But it didn't take long for man to mess stuff up. Just three chapters in, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, everything was perfect. But then the man and the woman, they disobey God, and in their sin, they are separated from God's presence. And they're kicked out of the beautiful Garden of Eden that God had made for them. And now, instead of enjoying all of the good that God had made, they are sentenced to a hard life of labor and work by the sweat of their brow. Everything was good. Everything was promising. But sin took it all away, and mankind begins this journey now in a fallen state, separated from what God had originally created us to be because of sin. And what once was full of light, now darkness reigns again. And men and women struggle in sin. You look through history, we find a few that did their best to rise above the darkness, and they call upon the name of the Lord, but darkness grows even more and more until finally God has had enough. And in Genesis 6 and 5, we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Talk about darkness, hopelessness. It was a low in the human history when they had become so evil and wicked that God says, you know what, enough with this man. Enough with mankind. I'm going to make the decision to destroy the earth completely. But the next verse changes everything. There was wickedness on the earth, yes, and God was going to destroy it. But Genesis 6:8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in a world full of wickedness, in a world full of evil, hope was still alive. And God used a man named Noah to carry on the history of mankind, to save a few righteous out of the many who were wicked. And he kept them safe in Noah's ark during the greatest flood that this world has ever seen. Generations later, we see a man named Abram. He came from idol worshipers. He was in a pagan land, but we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I want to tell you, God deals in hope. He deals in hope. He deals in promises. And somebody needs to be encouraged today, because you might be from the wrong background. You might have some things in your past that you're not really proud of. You may have a past so full of mistakes that you think you'll never get free. But if you'll just listen, like Abram was listening for the call of God upon his life, God wants to bring you out of all of that. And he wants to give you hope today. Because hope is still alive, somebody. Hallelujah. And so Abram answered the call of God, and God's chosen people multiplied and grew. And after hundreds of years, they became a mighty nation, and they had blessing and honor and favor upon them, and they served the one true God. And God defended them, and God blessed them, and he set them up as an example to all of the rest of the world that this is his people in the nation of Israel. But then again, man messed it up. And slowly but surely, they started worshiping other gods again, turning to idols and adopting the practices of pagan nations around them and compromising with the world until God was so displeased with them. He was so displeased with them that their nation was first divided, and then it was conquered and destroyed, and they became captives under other kingdoms, the Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans. It was during this time period that we find 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There was 400 years when God was silent. There was no prophet to speak to the people. There was no word from God. The Spirit of God did not speak to them for 400 years, and they carried on the traditions of religion, but they were so lost in darkness. And it's into this setting that we begin the New Testament. We read today from John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to tell about the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And in the same spirit today, I tell you, I'm not the light. Come on, you're not the light, but I'm telling you about one who is the light. He is the light of hope. He is the light of help. He is the light of joy. He is the light of peace. He is the light of miracles. And I've come to tell you, there is hope still today. It's alive in this world. Amen. I've got to prepare the way to tell you that there is one who is light. And if you let him shine into your life, it will transform you. Hallelujah. John prepared the way. He preached repentance and he baptized and he told the people that the light is coming and hope began to rise. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. God robed himself in flesh. He came as a baby, born as a virgin, born to a virgin, and as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and they called his name Jesus. The world that he was born into was a very dark and wicked place. People were lost. They were hopeless, and the enemy wanted to keep it that way. And wise men came from the east. They were following signs and the stars, and they asked King Herod, where will the Messiah be born? Because they'd come to worship him, but King Herod was fearful and said, you know what? We're not going to have a Messiah. And so he went and killed all of the babies that were 2 years old and under, trying to snuff out the light before it could give hope to the world. Isn't that just like the enemy? Come on, isn't that just like the enemy? Anytime we see a little light at the end of the tunnel, a ray of hope, a little breaking in the clouds, and the enemy tries to steal it away to stop hope and to kill the light to try to keep us in darkness. But an angel directed Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was saved, and he grew, and he developed, and they took notice of him, and Jesus began his earthly ministry. He called his disciples to leave their business and to follow him. And he would teach on the mountainside. He would teach things that people had never heard before. Like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This had never been heard before, but light started to shine. He performed miracles. He did supernatural things that were not possible to man. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He healed those who were lame and sick. He raised the dead back to life again. He restored those who were broken. Hope was alive. Hallelujah. And so the news of his ministry began to spread far and wide. And when Jesus would come into a town, everyone, they would come running to see him. They were so excited. They'd reach out to try to touch him. They would press close to hear his teaching. And soon all of Israel was just buzzing with the news that hope was once again alive. Amen. I want to tell you, when you realize there's an answer for your troubled world, you get a little excited. You've tried everything and you've come up short. But when you realize this may be the answer I've been looking for, and hope begins to rise and you start to get encouraged. Amen. I want to tell you, a brighter day has come when the light of Jesus starts to shine in us. But oh, the enemy started working. And those who were bound by religious tradition in that day, they began to be fearful that this Jesus, he's going to get a bigger following than we have. And he's going to have more power than we do. And so they plotted to kill him. But even in the enemy's attempts to extinguish the light, God had already planned it all out. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yes, they crucified him. They killed him in the most cruel and inhumane way possible. But they did not take his life because Jesus Christ willingly gave it. And the Bible says that as he took his last breath, that there was darkness everywhere. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Can you imagine the utter hopelessness, the depths of despair? Those disciples, they had no doubt never experienced such depression like this. Being cursed, let themselves begin to hope. Jesus had come and had fulfilled the desires of their soul. They had put their faith in Him, their trust in Him. This was their King. They thought He was come to overthrow the Romans and to bring victory and restore Israel, and He was their Savior. He was the long-awaited Messiah, but on the night of His crucifixion, they were lost. They were covered in darkness. They were mourning and dejection and despondency, and the light of hope, it seemed to be gone forever. Oh, and some of you have been there. Some of you have been there. You've been in a place where maybe you thought you could hope in somebody, and you thought you'd found a friend, and you thought you'd found an answer, and you thought you found a way out of your situation, but then it all falls apart, and you think, there is no hope. But I want to tell you, Sunday was on the way. Sunday was on the way. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that's Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And He said, go quickly and tell those disciples that He has arisen from the dead. Amen. I tell you, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to share the good news that, hey, you thought hope was defeated. You thought the light was gone out, but there is still hope. Hope is still alive. There is still help. There is still an answer. The light is still alive. And I've come to tell somebody today that there is hope. He's not in the grave any longer, but He has risen from the dead. Jesus is alive, and Jesus has hope for you and hope for me. Praise the Lord. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, hey, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto Springfield. We're in the uttermost part of the world. That hope of Jesus, he gave them hope, and that hope was to work through them and to use them to reach the world, even to our day today. And it was just a few days later that they gathered in an upper room. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hope was alive. Hope was alive. Notice something with me. We've just taken a trip through history. And looking back through history, at every point when things seem darkest, when things seemed most hopeless, when things seemed the worst, it was only making a way for hope to shine. I tell you, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And when it seems dark, and when it seems evil, and when it seems hopeless, that's a place that the light of Jesus Christ can shine even brighter. Amen. And today we live in a world of stress. We live in a world full of darkness. Depression and fear at our all-time highs. Yes, we've got more electricity than ever before until we get a freeze. There's more lights probably at this point in time than there has ever been in history. But yet there's more darkness than we've ever seen too. It's because of sin. It's because of wickedness. Not in our, but even with all the darkness, Father, it fills our life. It's in the power of His Spirit. If you're here today and you need hope, if you're here today and you're just kind of wondering in your heart, oh, if I could just find some hope, if I could just find some help, if I could just find a way out of my situation, I've come to tell you, you're in the right place today. Amen. You don't have to stay in the dark any longer, but you can have the light of Jesus Christ to shine in your life. And if you'll open your heart and say, God, forgive me of my sins, and I want to be filled with the presence of your Spirit, God will let that light shine into you and you will be transformed today. I love that song in closing. I love that song they were singing. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. That's the name of Jesus Christ. It's a light that the shadows can't deny. It's a light that shines in the darkness. It's a light that shines in the places that are filled with gloom and despair. It's a light that shines to guide us and to lead us out of that pit that we got ourselves in. It's a light that shines that even the shadows can't deny. Would you stand with me in closing today? John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world, he says. If you're looking for hope, if you're looking for help in your situation, if you need some answers today, you're in the right place. We felt it. We could feel His Spirit today. His touch has been moving in this house. As we worshiped Him, as we magnified Him, as we lifted up His name, His presence and His Spirit has moved and has touched lives and hearts here today. And I love the point of that song that says, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. See, some of you have been trembling in darkness. You've been trembling with fear, trembling with anxiety, trembling with the pressures of life. With all of what we faced this past year, you've been trembling there in darkness, but God wants to turn the tide on that. And Jesus can make the darkness tremble. Hallelujah. Hope is alive today. Hope is alive today. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is a light that shines in darkness? This is a hope that we all need in our life. Jesus Christ. Now we're going to have a time of prayer here. You feel comfortable, I want you to feel free to come to this altar area and we'll pray with you that hope will come alive in your life. If you'd like to stay there in your pew, that's fine as well. If you don't want anybody to come near you, that's fine. We're going to pray from a distance. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we want to do that today because I want every person to leave here with hope today. If you're bound by addiction, if you've been a dark pit of addiction, I want to tell you there's hope. There is hope. And yes, we're thankful for recovery programs and we're doing everything we can in that area, but there's something about the power of God's Spirit. If you will let His touch be upon you today, God can do more in just a few seconds of time than we can ever do in years of our own efforts. We need that hope today. We need that light to shine in us. Amen. If you've never experienced the gift of His Holy Spirit, If you've never spoke with tongues like they did in the book of Acts, could I tell you, it's a promise that you can have that today. You need to leave here with that hope in your heart and in your life. If you'll ask God to forgive you of your sin, if you'll say, Lord, I'm sorry for the mess I've made. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. I want you to forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want to do those things anymore. And if you'll begin to worship Him and begin to praise Him, then I believe that the Lord will touch you and He will fill you with His Spirit and you can speak in tongues just like they did in the Bible. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we have a way to baptize you today. Amen. And you can leave here knowing that I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. Turn to somebody and tell them, hope is alive. Hope is alive. Amen, amen. I want to enter into a time of prayer now. And if you feel like coming to this altar, if you feel like praying where you are, whatever you're comfortable with today, I want you to reach out because I believe that before we leave this place, God is going to put hope in the life of every single person, in every heart, in every home, that every life who is desperate today, you're going to leave this place knowing that Jesus is alive. And there's now hope because of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. As they begin to sing, as they begin to worship, can we join in together, Lord? Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the light that shines in darkness. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle that you have provided for us today.
The overcome. is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Supernatural hope. Hope when you don't have a reason to have hope. Amen. That's the kind of hope Jesus brings. Hope when you're at the lowest point you've ever been in your life, but Jesus says, I've got hope, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you a little hope. I'm going to give you a little light today. Praise the Lord. Can we just pray for that? Lord, you see every heart and every life. You know every situation. You see the darkness. Lord, you see struggles. You know addictions. You see battles that people are facing. But God, in the midst of a world without hope, I pray that you will let your light shine in the lives of people today. That you would bring hope. That you would bring strength. That you would bring encouragement. In Jesus' name, we rebuke fear right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke depression in Jesus' name. And I speak life, and I speak light, and I speak encouragement and hope in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will let there be a gift of hope that would go with every single person